Right now, if you ask anyone on the street, or I mean, even most people actually running a business who is going to win the AI revolution, you'll get pretty much the exact same answer every time.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone assumes it's the giants, right?
Right. People assume the absolute undisputed winners are going to be those companies building the biggest, smartest AI models, like the ones spending just billions on data centers and, bragging about their parameter counts.
Yeah, it feels like common sense. Like whoever builds the smartest digital brain just takes the whole prize.
Exactly. But what if the market is actually starting to tell us something completely
It's
different?
a fascinating assumption to unpack,
Right.
honestly, because, well, we're currently witnessing a classic case of looking at the loudest part of a technological disruption and just entirely missing where the actual economic value is settling.
Right. We get distracted by the shiny object.
We do. We get hypnotized by the raw sort of sci-fi capability of the tech itself, and we completely ignore the mundane friction of how it actually has to be used in the real world.
And that friction is exactly what we're getting into today. So, for this deep dive, we are looking at a really revealing stack of materials. We've got a set of internal strategy documents from a company called Structured Layer.
They build enterprise AI architecture, for those who
Yeah,
might not know.
right, exactly. And we're pairing those documents with some breaking market signals from a Reuters report dated exactly today, August 5, 2026.
Fresh off the press.
Literally. So our mission for you today is to cut through all this relentless hype, break down the incredibly complex world of enterprise AI, and really figure out where the sustainable value is actually being generated right now.
And maybe more importantly, giving you a practical framework for how these tools can actually be applied in daily business life, not just, reading about them in press releases.
Okay, let's unpack this. I want to start by looking at how the very concept of an AI winner has evolved as this tech has kind of, well, migrated out of the laboratory.
Yeah, the definition of success has fundamentally shifted over the last couple of years. The strategy docs we're looking at, they frame this as a transition from the old view to the new view.
Right.
And if we look back just a year or two, the entire industry was basically trapped in that old view.
And that old view was essentially a very simple, almost naive equation, right? Like you put data in, it goes to a massive AI model, and boom, you get a winner.
Exactly. The obsession was entirely on model size and these standardized benchmarks.
Oh yeah, it was a constant arms race of, hey, can this model pass the bar exam? Or
Yeah.
can it score like 3 points higher on this logic test than the other guy's model?
Which, I mean, that made perfect sense for the initial experimentation phase. We had to figure out if the foundational technology actually worked.
Yeah.
But the problem with clinging to that old view is that it completely ignores the messy reality of enterprise complexity.
Right, it led to what the industry now calls pilot purgatory.
Yes, pilot purgatory, which is exactly what it sounds like.
I've heard that phrase thrown around a lot, but what does pilot purgatory actually look like on the ground, like for a real company?
Okay, imagine a massive Fortune 500 company. They want to use AI, obviously, so they run an endless series of limited, heavily controlled pilots in a safe, sandboxed environment.
Like a test tube, basically.
Exactly. They feed the model a perfectly clean, isolated data set. And, the model performs brilliantly, the executives applaud in the boardroom, and then absolutely nothing happens. The project just dies.
Wait, really? It just dies. Why?
Because it is incredibly hard to move beyond those pilots. Because a perfectly clean data set just doesn't exist in the real operations of a company. A model that is a genius in a vacuum offers a very limited short-term advantage.
It doesn't translate to complex daily workflows.
Not at all.
So a smart brain in a jar doesn't actually, file your corporate taxes or order your inventory.
No, it doesn't.
Which brings us to the new view, this paradigm shift happening right now in 2026. The new equation isn't about having the smartest standalone model. The new equation is, well, it's connection to reality equals winner.
Right. Large enterprises are officially moving beyond those sandboxed experiments. They realize they don't just want a smart chat box on their intranet.
They needed to actually do real work.
Exactly. They need AI that respects their proprietary data, their legacy software systems, their highly specific security requirements, and, well, their existing business processes.
So an AI model that can't interact with the company's internal systems is virtually useless.
Essentially, yes. So the new winners emerging in the market are the companies that can build a bridge between the raw intelligence of the model and the messy, fragmented reality of a massive corporation.
And this isn't just theoretical either. The Reuters report we have in our stack from today, it provides the hard financial proof of this shift.
Yeah, the commercial evidence is becoming highly visible. And honestly, it's a bit staggering. The market is heavily rewarding the companies that can operationalize AI rather than just the ones creating the foundation models.
Right. The Reuters report specifically points to European technology and consulting firms. The ones that specialize in system integration and implementation, their numbers are just surging.
Surging is putting it mildly.
Let's look at these numbers. So SAP's cloud backlog has experienced a massive 26% growth.
Which is huge for a company of that size.
Right. And then you look at implementation giants like Capgemini, they're showing an 11.3% jump in first half revenue at constant exchange rates.
Yeah. And their second quarter bookings are up 9.2%.
It's crazy. And because of this massive influx of enterprise demand for integration, they've actually had to upgrade their 2026 financial outlooks. Soprasteria is emerging in this exact same winning category, too.
The money is flowing in a very clear direction here. It's flowing toward the capability to implement and integrate.
Okay, I want to push back on this for a second, though. Are we really saying that the brilliant minds inventing the most advanced neural networks in human history are essentially, well, losing out to IT consultants who just plug things in?
I wouldn't necessarily frame it as losing out, but rather that the capture of economic value is shifting downstream.
Downstream? Oh, okay, how do you mean?
Think of it this way. Inventing the combustion engine was a monumental, historic achievement, right?
Sure.
But the people who made the real sustained fortunes were the ones who figured out how to build the cars, pay the roads, and create the supply chains that allowed everyday people to actually use that engine.
I see.
Right now, the AI models are the engine.
Yeah.
But a brain without a desk, without access to the company's filing cabinets, and without an understanding of the corporate rules, it can't do any actual work.
The ultimate value isn't the brain itself. It's the brain's ability to pull the right levers within the business.
Exactly. That idea of the desk job is the perfect way to look at it.
I really want to break this down for anyone listening who might not be a software engineer or a systems architect. We really need to understand why it's so incredibly difficult to give an AI a desk job.
It's not as simple as just turning it on.
No, not at all. And it explains why these integration firms are commanding such a premium. It all comes down to one massive hurdle, which is information fragmentation.
Yes, the enemy of AI.
Let's try an analogy to visualize this. Imagine you own a massive high-end restaurant, right? And you decide to hire a world-class, genius, Michelin-star chef. This chef represents the absolute best, most advanced AI foundation model on the market.
A chef that can theoretically cook any recipe in the world.
Exactly. You bring this genius chef into your kitchen, ready for them to revolutionize your menu. But there's a massive catch.
There always is.
Right. The ingredients they need to cook with are not sitting on the counter. They are hidden inside 20 different locked cabinets. One cabinet has the spices, another has the meat, another has the produce.
And I'm guessing none of them open easily.
Nope. The cabinets were all built by different carpenters. They all require different types of keys, and the chef does not have the keys to any of them. So no matter how smart or talented that chef is, they are entirely useless to you.
Because they can't cook a single meal if the ingredients are fragmented and locked away.
Exactly.
And that is a highly accurate representation of modern enterprise architecture. The chef is your AI, and those mismatched locked cabinets are the reality of how a business actually stores its information.
And the structured layer materials, they ground this in a very specific daily reality, using the construction industry as their primary example. Why construction, though?
Construction is the perfect lens for this, because it's notoriously complex, highly regulated, and heavily reliant on dense documentation.
Lots of paperwork.
So much paperwork. The documents point out that most general contractors, they do not need a new foundation model.
Yeah.
They certainly don't need another shiny new app added to their daily workflow.
Because they already have way too much software.
They are drowning in software.
They really are. The tools are already in place. A typical construction firm has, you know, project management platforms, vendor bid portals, just overflowing email inboxes.
Scattered PDF architectural drawings, dense engineering specs.
Yeah, financial spreadsheets. Massive ERP systems and legacy databases that have been running since like 2005.
Right. Let's pause on that for a second, actually, just to make sure we're all on the same page. When you say an ERP system for someone who hasn't had to suffer through using one, what actually is that?
So an ERP that stands for Enterprise Resource Planning. You can think of it as the central nervous system of a company's back office.
Okay.
It's this massive software system that tracks the money, the inventory, the payroll, the supply chain. It is usually incredibly powerful, very rigid, and notoriously difficult to extract data from quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the problem in this construction firm isn't a lack of tools or data.
No, not at all.
The problem is that the PDF drawing doesn't talk to the ERP system,
yep.
And the ERP system doesn't talk to the project management platform.
Exactly. What is missing is shared context across all those different silos.
This is where we get into the nuts and bolts of why things fail. The sources detail exactly what happens when you just slap a raw AI model on top of that bad plumbing.
It's a functional disaster.
But it really is.
Yeah.
You get duplicate work because the AI recommends an action that a human already completed in a different system, a system the AI couldn't even see. You get massive missing context.
And you get hallucinations, right?
Absolutely. You get incredibly weak retrieval. The AI just can't find the right file, so it just guesses.
Which is terrifying in a business setting.
Very. It gives you the wrong answer because you asked it to cook a complex meal without giving it access to the pantry. Or worse, giving it access to a pantry where all the labels are written in languages it doesn't understand.
I love how these documents phrase the realization of all this. They argue that the next phase of AI adoption will not be won by adding another tool.
Yeah.
It fundamentally cannot be. It will be won by connecting the tools, the records, the approvals, and the people that already run the business. You have to connect the business first and then make AI work inside it.
What's fascinating here is that this brings us to the actual architecture of the solution. Since we know adding a new standalone app isn't the answer, we have to look at this concept of building an integration layer, or what the strategy documents call a structured layer.
Right. Let's get into the mechanics of how a structured layer actually works. If we go back to our Michelin star chef analogy.
Which I love, by the way.
It works so well. The structured layer is essentially hiring a highly organized sous chef. This sous chef holds the master key ring. They know exactly which cabinet holds the meat and which holds the spices.
And they do the prep work?
Exactly. They chop the onions and measure the flour so that when they hand it to the genius chef can just focus on cooking.
That is a perfect extension of the metaphor. The integration layer sits between your messy, fragmented enterprise systems on one side and the AI models on the other.
Acting as a filter.
Right. It acts as a single, governed, secure, and controlled source of truth. And to understand how it does this, we have to look at the anatomy of this layer, starting with the most foundational element, which is integration.
Now, integration sounds simple on paper. You just plug the things together, right? But if it were that simple, everyone would be doing it. Why is connecting legacy data so notoriously hard?
Because systems do not naturally speak the same language.
Mm.
Integration involves connecting APIs, application programming interfaces.
The digital handshakes.
Exactly. The handshakes that allow two pieces of software to talk. You have to take the API from the project management software, the data feed from that rigid ERP system we talked about, and the file streams from a document management system, and basically force them into a unified dialogue.
And it isn't just about moving the data, though. It's about translating it, right? The documents talk a lot about normalization. How does a structured layer actually normalize data?
This is where the real plumbing happens. Let's say you have a massive Excel spreadsheet tracking project timelines, and you have a 50-page PDF architectural drawing.
Okay.
In the spreadsheet, a date might be formatted as month-day-year, but on the PDF, a revision date might be typed out as day/month/year.
To a human, that difference is trivial. We understand the context.
Right. But to an AI model, that inconsistency can completely break its ability to cross-reference those documents.
Oh, wow. Really? Just a date format?
It's just a date format.
Yeah.
So normalization is the process where the structured layer catches that data as it moves between systems, strips away the conflicting formats, and rewrites it into a single standardized language that the AI can instantly comprehend.
Okay, so the pipes are connected and the data is speaking the same language. What comes next?
Once the data can move intelligently, you have to tell it where to go.
Yeah.
That requires workflow design.
Right.
You're mapping the actual business process into this digital layer. Like, who needs to see this piece of information? What specific sequence does this approval need to follow before it moves to the next department?
And this naturally leads into the area where I feel like companies are most likely to completely drop the ball, which is governance.
Oh, absolutely.
I can just imagine executives getting so excited about AI that they just hook the model up to their entire internal server and say, go find us some insights.
Which is an absolute nightmare from a security perspective. Governance is about controlling permissions and enforcing strict boundaries.
Mm.
Just because an AI model can physically read every document on the company's server doesn't mean it should.
Exactly. You don't want a junior intern asking the company AI to summarize the weekly HR updates, and the AI accidentally decides to pull from the CEO's highly confidential payroll spreadsheet just because it found a relevant keyword.
Precisely why guardrails are non-negotiable. A proper integration layer inherits the security permissions of the user asking the question.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Right. It restricts what data the AI can access based on who is asking, and it builds in continuous auditing and monitoring. So you always know exactly why the AI made a specific recommendation.
And the final piece of this layer is making it actually usable, which they call operational handover. Turning all that complex back-end plumbing into a seamless interface for the employees who actually have to do the work.
Right, the people on the ground.
So let's make this incredibly concrete for the listener. Let's apply this entire structured layer concept to a tangible daily use case. Let's stick with our construction example.
Perfect.
Imagine you are a procurement manager for a massive commercial build. An email comes into your portal from a subcontractor. This email references a highly complex 50-page PDF architectural drawing, and based on that drawing, you need to run a budget check against an old, massive ERP spreadsheet that lives on a completely different corporate server.
Okay, so in the old world, the world without an integration layer, think about the manual labor involved there.
It's painful just thinking about it.
A human being would have to open the email, download the PDF, read through 50 pages to find the specific dimension being referenced, then log into the slow ERP system, manually search for the correct budget code, and then compare the numbers on a scratch pad.
It is tedious, it is prone to human error, and it is incredibly slow.
But with a governed integration layer, all of those scattered inputs become instantly usable context for the AI.
Right.
The layer connects the inbox, the PDF, and the spreadsheet. It normalizes that date and dimension data like we discussed. It validates the user's security permissions.
So now the AI can read the email, instantly pull the exact dimension from page 42 of the PDF, cross-reference it against the live ERP budget, and generate a summary for you in seconds.
It can recommend the next step or even draft the reply to the subcontractor, all based on a verified single source of truth.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, when you look at the mechanics of that workflow, it highlights a crucial philosophy that the strategy documents state explicitly. The best AI workflow is the one your business can operate safely.
Yes. It's not necessarily the smartest model on the market or the fastest one or the one that acts with the most autonomy. It is the one that has the right controls.
Because the right controls matter just as much as the right idea. You wouldn't let a brand new intern sign a $1 million vendor check without a manager looking at it first.
Yeah, definitely not.
You absolutely shouldn't let an AI do it either.
And that means establishing clear human approval gates within the workflow. A human needs to physically click proceed or halt. You need clear escalation paths for when the AI encounters a scenario it hasn't seen before.
And hard stop conditions where the AI is simply not permitted to act without human intervention.
Exactly.
So if I'm a business leader listening to this, I am probably sweating a little bit right now.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It does. Building a custom integration layer, connecting legacy ERPs, mapping workflows, it sounds incredibly expensive and incredibly risky. How does a company actually begin to do this without completely breaking their current daily operations?
Well, the sources outline a very pragmatic playbook for this exact scenario. It heavily leans on what they call an AI integration assessment.
Mm.
It's designed specifically for companies that are already drowning in multiple software systems and want to adopt AI, but just don't know where to start.
And the golden rule of this assessment, which I think goes against everything software vendors usually try to sell you, is this. Start with one workflow.
Just one.
Just one before you try to scale anything broader.
It is the only way to succeed. The goal isn't to buy some enterprise-wide AI transformation package that promises to revolutionize the entire company in a weekend.
Because those almost always fail, right?
Almost always. The goal is a fixed scope assessment to identify the right inputs, the right controls, and the right implementation path for a single high-value process.
They lay out exactly what needs to be defined before you even think about picking an AI model. You have to map the specific systems the AI must access. You have to locate the exact documents it needs to read. And crucially, you have to define the authoritative records.
That is a critical point. If your project management software says a deadline is Tuesday, but your ERP system says the deadline is Wednesday, which system is the ultimate source of truth?
Right, the integration layer needs to know the hierarchy of your data.
But the most vital step they mentioned, the one that really anchors all of this, is defining ownership and accountability.
Meaning, who is the actual human being whose name is on the line for this process?
Exactly. Clear inputs and human ownership must be established long before you introduce automation.
Always. You build your testing strategy and your success metrics around that human owner.
You work with them to select the right level of autonomy for the task. Maybe for this specific workflow, you only need an AI assistant that drafts responses for the human to review.
Or maybe you can graduate to a bounded agent that can take limited actions within strict parameters.
Mm-hmm.
But the human is always the anchor of the system.
Always.
Okay, let's take a step back. We've covered a massive amount of ground today, from the historical evolution of the AI market and the limitations of pilot purgatory, all the way down to the technical mechanics of data normalization and the horror of legacy ERP systems.
It's a lot to process.
It is. So to make sure we capture the absolute essence of what these strategy documents and market reports are telling us, let's distill this deep dive down into the top three main takeaways for you to walk away with.
Sounds good.
So what does this all mean? Takeaway number one, implementation over creation.
This is the grand economic shift we are witnessing right now in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
The real opportunity and the actual revenue in artificial intelligence lies in connecting these powerful foundation models to enterprise reality.
Not just building bigger models.
Right. The era of the pure model builder dominating the entire landscape is giving way to the era of the integration specialist. If you can operationalize AI inside a real messy business, you hold the keys to the kingdom.
That brings us to takeaway number two. Fragmentation is the enemy.
AI completely fails when your information is siloed in those locked cabinets we talked about. You can't expect a genius model to generate brilliant insights if it doesn't have the keys to your data, or if the data doesn't speak a common language.
Success requires building a governed, secure, structured layer.
Exactly. A layer that acts as a single source of truth across all your legacy systems, your inboxes, and your spreadsheets, turning scattered, unstructured data into highly usable context.
And finally, takeaway number three, start small and safe.
The path to true AI adoption is not a massive, company-wide overhaul driven by hype. It is choosing one single high-value workflow.
Just one.
It is establishing clear human ownership, mapping the specific inputs, and setting up firm, non-negotiable approval gates before you automate a single action. The best AI is not the smartest AI. It is the AI you can operate securely.
Those three takeaways really ground the entire conversation, I think. It takes AI from this intimidating, abstract sci-fi concept and turns it into a practical, structural business challenge that can actually be solved with good engineering.
Yeah, and this raises an important question, honestly. When we look at the totality of what we've discussed, the necessity of that integration layer, the critical importance of shared context, and the absolute danger of fragmented, unmanaged systems, it leaves us with a highly provocative thought about the future.
Where does this all lead?
Well, if an AI's value is now entirely dependent on the quality, the security, and the internal connectivity of a company's data, it forces us to completely rethink who the real pioneers of the future will be.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Will the ultimate winners of the AI age actually be the companies with the most meticulously organized, incredibly boring filing systems?
That's fascinating.
In the future of artificial intelligence, does perfect business plumbing actually beat perfect code?
Yeah, there is a thought to leave you with. Have a look at your own digital pantry and ask yourself who really has the keys. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.